I'm Arun Vanagopal, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Over the last few years, the Right to Die movement, also known as Death with Dignity, has gained strength nationally. To be clear, this is an end-of-life option allowing certain terminally ill patients to obtain medication from their doctor that would end their life. 9 states have legalized medical aid in dying, and several others are taking up this legislation. But there's a lot of confusion around what aid in dying actually entails and what it means for the rights of patients who are terminally ill and their families. Joining me now is Art Kaplan, director of the Division of Medical Ethics, New York University School of Medicine. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Art.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Both New Jersey and Maine passed aid in dying legislation last year, and we're seeing more states take up the issue this year, including in Maryland, where it failed by just 1 vote last year. Why do you think this issue is gaining momentum today?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is people are afraid that because of the opioid crisis and restrictions on the use of that kind of pain reliever, that maybe if they have cancer, their pain will not be fully treated and they don't want to die suffering. Whether that's true or not is certainly arguable, but it's a fear and that drives this. Success in passing the legislation, there is a movement behind it. When they get victories, they move on to other states. You mentioned Maryland. They're also trying in New York. So that's a building momentum. And I think the other reason is as society ages, as the boomers move along, that's an interest group that cares about this issue.
Could you explain the difference between hospice care, palliative care, and aid in dying?
So hospice care is kind of a declaration that there's no more treatment that can be offered to you. You'd be asked if you would like to move to hospice. When somebody says there's nothing else we can do, we want to give you comfort. Palliative care is providing you with pain relief and emotional support. It's both for pain and suffering. You don't have to be terminally ill to get palliative care, but the overlap between those who are in hospice and those receiving palliative care is strong. For the assistance in dying, that's what happens in the U.S. when someone is in hospice or not, but is declared to have 60 days to live. In those 9 states in the District of Columbia, they can ask for a doctor to write them a prescription for lethal drugs.
And how does this movement in the U.S. compare with what's happening elsewhere in the world?
Well, this is really interesting. So the U.S., way back to 20 years ago, the state of Oregon was the first to deal with physician aid in dying. We focused on terminal illness as the trigger. Had to be terminally ill and competent to make this request. In Europe, the trigger is suffering. Belgium, Holland, those countries allow physician-assisted dying if you simply say, I have terrible suffering and it can't be relieved. That opens the door to people who have terrible disabilities, psychiatric conditions, even people who are despondent and despairing, say, from a bad relationship. So they are much further down a road than the U.S. is with respect to who's eligible.
Now, once someone decides that they want to move forward with this process of aid in dying, what is the process actually like? How does it work?
Well, it's tightly regulated in the United States. So most states follow the Oregon model. And what that means is, first, 2 doctors have to say that you're terminally ill, meaning roughly 60 days to live. Could they be mistaken? Sure, but it's more like you might live 70 or 80, but you have to have a terminal illness that's well understood. You have to be competent. You must make the request. If you have Alzheimer's or some type of cognitive incapacity, you can't request this in any of these states. It's no use to you if you've lost your competency. There's a waiting period. You make the request, then you have to reiterate it again. You have to make sure that there's a psychological evaluation if the doctor thinks that's important to make sure you really are competent and to make sure that you're not being coerced, you know, that no family member is saying, hey, Johnny needs his college tuition. We don't think we should be spending any more money on you. This is supposed to be a free choice. And then probably the biggest protection is you have to take the pills. The doctor doesn't put them in your mouth. You get the prescription, but you ultimately engage in the act of hurrying your dying.
Now, along with the public perception, the medical community is also shifting in its perception on this issue. But what are some of the main arguments and reasons for not allowing aid in dying?
Well, there are some strong arguments against it. People look at Belgium, they look at Holland, and they say, those countries are down a slippery slope. If we open this door, we're going to wind up where they are. And a lot of people, myself included, think they've had cases where they are abusing the assistance in dying. You know, just because you have a bad romance and are despondent, I don't think medicine's job is to step in and help you die. So slippery slope fears are big on the part of the critics. Some physicians say, look, it's just not acceptable with my ethics to have someone die more quickly. I can't hasten death. It's wrong. It's just, if you will, immoral for a doctor to do that. Others say we have a good system between hospice and palliative care. We can give you a good death. We don't have to go this extra mile and offer you a hastened death.
Real quick, Art, how many people annually are going through with medical aid and dying?
Well, I don't think we have an accurate number because the states don't add them up, but I'm going to tell you it's much fewer than people anticipated. Mm-hmm. Most people say, well, a good third of them say, if I have this option, then I'm going to keep struggling, keep fighting, stay alive as long as I can. I know I could pull the ripcord, but I don't do it. So the requests for this probably are in the thousands around the country, but the number of people who actually do it is about a third of that because they basically decide having the out, they'll keep going.
Art Kaplan is the director of the Division of Medical Ethics at New York University School of Medicine. Thanks so much for joining me today,
Thanks
Art.
For having me.
So we asked you, our listeners, if you thought people should have access to legal and medical means to end their life. And it turns out you're a bit divided.
This is Victoria in Minneapolis. I think people should have the ability to make a life choice like that, especially if they're in pain and it's terminal. The quality of life has to mean something.
Absolutely not. That is a Pandora's box that we really, as society, should not be opening. This is Al from Orlando.
Hi, this is Gary in Colorado Springs. I worked in hospice the last few years of my career, and many times I felt that people should have the right to make the ultimate determination with regard to their life. Of course, there needs to be control and considerable preparation and understanding by everyone involved, including families and medical personnel, but it should be a right to terminate your own life if there is good cause.
Robert Parker from Oceanside, California. It's a difficult subject. Some diseases will truncate a life with an unknown timeline without mental degradation. Lou Gehrig's disease example, questions, the ability to understand come into play. Should a person with diagnosed Alzheimer's disease be allowed to end their life with an otherwise fully functioning body? So my answer is yes and no.
Hi, this is Teresa from Kingfisher, Oklahoma. This question hits close to home. My father killed himself after battling lung cancer for several years. We think he may have developed congestive heart failure, which caused the cough, which was causing his constant pain. He discussed his thoughts of suicide with my mother, but denied them when she told the various doctors. On the other hand, medical assistance to end life is a slippery slope. How long will it take before others are deciding that a person has suffered too much and makes the decision for him or her?
Do you have thoughts on legalizing medical aid in dying? Give us a call at 877-869-8253.